to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
We'll be with you today, and I appreciate this opportunity and your invitation and the love and the friendship that you've expressed toward me. We can continue with some thoughts that we began last night. Pray the Lord to bless, and you pray that again if you would. For a little bit of review for those who were not here last night, Danny and I were talking Thursday evening, asking what would be good to preach. After a bit of conversation about that, and then a bit of delay, suddenly he said, preach to them what you tell them if Jesus was coming back Monday. And I said, boy, you know how to lay a load on a man, don't you? Then we laughed about it. Then yesterday, about midday, that statement came back to me with a punch to it. And I kind of knew that's what I was supposed to do. Is tell you this weekend what you need to know if Jesus was coming back Monday. In some way we knew that. My last chance to preach the gospel. My last chance to tell you something before he gets here. What an opportunity. Yeah, depending on what you believe and what you preach, him coming Monday might not be such good news to some folks.
Yep.
If you were looking to Sinai and God's law and your keeping of that law, you probably wouldn't sleep much this weekend. By Monday morning, looking at that fearful Mount Sinai, the law that was given there, and when they received it, they trembled. And when he's coming back, you might be in about the mood to say to the mountains and to the rocks, follow us.
Yeah.
I can't stand to see. I dread seeing him. Is that the way it should be, that we dread seeing him to come back? That's not, doesn't seem the tenor of the Bible.
No.
But yet, if that's what you were standing upon, is your own works making you presentable to him when he comes, I'd better soon have a rock fall on me to see him coming back. And if it was your idea that every sin needs to be confessed and repented of, you might be looking real close to make sure you haven't forgotten one. And if I was your spiritual counselor and I really knew that, I believe I'd be telling you, dig deep, boys and girls. Make sure you hadn't left a sin unconfessed. Because you know that's what it takes, is confession and repentance. For you to get there, for you to meet him, and for you to be with him. And I'm glad that's not my story I have to tell you on this last weekend.
Amen.
And even the idea that one thing that you had to do, and you might have felt comfortable that you'd done it, but if it was my job to preach it to you, that part about believing and confessing, and that's all it takes. Then when I read God's Word and I find that the devils believe and tremble, and I might be like some of those preachers that I've heard who believe that, and they, when they get a chance, they like to say, well, you need to go beyond believing and be sure you're part of the ones that have been receiving. And I wonder what they mean, and I think they wonder what they mean. I don't think they know what they mean, but they leave you with that idea that it takes something beyond the devil's belief, and you better be sure that you go beyond believing all the way to receiving, and then you're ready to see him. I'm kind of thankful I don't preach that I can do anything to be ready to see him. We tried to preach to you last night, Amazing Grace. And how that he takes care of everything prior to us seeing him. It's all fixed. It's all done. It is finished. He's coming back to get us. And if you can understand that without a doubt, not based on what you've done in any shape, form, or fashion, totally based on what he's done, he's coming back to get what he paid for.
Amen.
And you're going with him. You know what? I'm looking forward to Monday. I say, Lord, come quick. Haste the day. I want to see you. That's what the truth will do for you. The truth will free you from your fears about Him coming back. The truth will guide your feet to the way of peace. For when you think about Him coming, you have peace about Him. The truth gives glory to Him.
Amen.
That's the main thing.
Amen.
About the truth. What's in it for me is important. But what's in it for Him is of ultimate importance.
That's right.
The truth magnifies, glorifies Christ, God alone, and not anything we've done as preachers or sinners.
Amen.
To be ready for Him to come back. Now then, I want to take those thoughts and I want to try to go a step further and begin to talk about faith today. Faith. I declare to you that I think the Bible's version of faith is for living and looking.
Yeah.
Faith for living and looking. Lord bless us, we'd like to develop that thought this morning. But before we develop the thought about faith for living and looking, we're going to have to go in a negative direction just a little bit and tell you what faith is not before we begin to tell you what faith is. And the reason I find that necessary is not just to fill up time or to waste time. We could be talking about what it is, but there's so much unbelief, wrong belief about what faith is that if we don't start by addressing that and trying to eliminate that kind of thinking that's so prominent in Christian minds today, then we're not going to be able to think about the faith that's really in the Bible the way the Bible presents it if we're still
right.
thinking about the faith the way the world presents it, which is not the right presentation of it. So we're going to talk about faith that's for living and for looking as opposed to faith that's for getting life. We're going to talk about faith that's for living life. Romans 1, 16, 17. Let's read those two verses. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The verse that we repeated multiple times last night, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, whom He called, them He also justified, whom He justified, them He also glorified. The idea in that verse that He predestinated, He called, He justified, He glorified, it's all about Him.
Amen.
Heaven is. Well, if this verse is talking about getting to heaven, and Romans 8:30 is talking about getting to heaven, makes me wonder which one of them I'm not going to believe and which one I am going to believe. Because you can't believe both of them if they're both talking about getting to heaven. Because they're saying different things.
Right.
Would Paul have said this in Romans 1, 16, 17, if he's talking about getting to heaven? And then said in chapter 3, what if some believe not? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? That's not saying the same thing, is it?
No.
And you can't fit those together unless Romans 1, 17 is not talking about faith for getting life, but it's talking about faith for living life,
amen.
Just like it says.
Amen.
Amen.
Getting life, you get it because God gives it to you by grace,
amen.
Eternal life. You live life because God gives you faith for living what you've been given.
Amen.
They're two different things, quite honestly. But if we try to make those two things the same thing, we got a can of worms that we can't sort out. So we want to start out by talking about what this verse is not talking about, what it can be talking about, before we hopefully finally get to what it's talking about. I give you multiple reasons why this verse can't be talking about getting life, but living life. But let's start, before we even get to this verse, with things the Bible says in other places about faith. About faith. What does the Bible do with the thing called faith? As far as the getting life part, we talked about it last night, but let's hit it quick again. Born again by grace. All by grace. Only by grace. The Bible teaches Holy Spirit unassisted regeneration.
Amen.
Without help, without means, without you, without me, without the preacher, without the gospel, without anything, the Holy Spirit just blows where He pleases, and so it is with everyone's born of the Spirit of God. The voice of Jesus Christ speaks, and you shall hear and shall live. That's born again. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, it's of God that showeth mercy. That's how eternal life happens. You say, but it says, whosoever willeth. Well, it also says, when Jesus looked at those, you will not come to me that you might have life. So whosoever will needs to come, but there's some that will not. It takes God's power to turn will not into a will.
Amen.
And that's born again. Right. It's something God does by himself, all by himself, unassisted. Holy Spirit, regeneration. The problem with the faith in our faith plans of salvation, trusting in our trust and saying that's what made the difference, that's faith in me and not in Jesus. That's faith and not in Him. And that takes glory away from Him. But faith in our faith plans, modern day Christianity seems to underestimate the miracle of faith. Faith is not something you can do without Him doing for you. Faith is not something you just decide to have. Faith is a profound miracle given to you of God.
Amen.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the Bible's definition. Substance is realness. Faith makes what you're hoping for real to you right now. Faith gives you evidence, testifies to you of things you can't see, and makes it where you can see. Now that's not imagination. That's a gift of God to let you see a bit of heaven already. Through a glass darkly, I admit it. But you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see a Jesus hanging on the cross, and you can't see it with these eyes, but you can see it with the eyes of faith.
Yeah.
It's a miracle God gives you to let you already get a hold of to make realness that which you're hoping for. A bit of something that's way out there in the future called heaven that you can get a piece of right now. A kingdom of heaven at hand, a faith that God gives you something awesome that makes heaven real to you right now. Let you see what you can't see. And you're not, I say again, imagining it. It becomes reality, and faith testifies to your spirit, the realness of it, and you know it so. That's what faith does for you. You can't just suddenly up and do that.
Right.
It's too big for us. It's a mighty powerful thing that God gives us. We certainly don't want to downplay faith. I don't know where we'd be in this world with that. Goodness. Think of Jesus coming back Monday. If you didn't have faith to know some truth about it, it'd be a scary thing. But faith turns scary into happy. Faith erases fears and doubts and brings up certain hope. Faith is something that's bigger than what we can conjure up on our own. Underestimate miracle faith, and then overestimate the role of faith. You know, in modern day Christianity's thinking, faith is the groundwork of everything for salvation. It's the bottom line, open door, the centerpiece, the way to. Without it, you can't have it. It makes faith the most precious thing, even more precious than Jesus.
Yeah.
Is your faith more essential? Oh yeah, we throw him in, but the key here It's not Jesus, but it's you and your faith. And that's what makes the difference. Faith is the starting point for your eternal salvation. You better do faith, which you can't do because it's too big for you to do. We've already talked about that, but the proposition is you better do faith if you want to see Jesus, if you want to see grace. If you want to get to heaven, you're going to have to do some good bit of faith, and maybe you can go beyond believing and start receiving it. And you've got to do some level of faith, though, before you can get there. Because that's the secret of God. That's what opens the door to salvation. Now, wait a minute. Does that fit the Bible? That's my question. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm looking for truth. But in order to find truth, we've got to get some error out of our heads. So this idea that faith is the starting point, the initiating factor in salvation, is faith first? That doesn't fit Scripture.
No.
Galatians chapter 5, speaking of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. And from God Himself, Holy Spirit, comes faith. Faith, it says, is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. Faith. The fruit grows from the tree in a natural thing, I think. The analogy is that the faith comes from the Spirit.
Yes.
The faith doesn't attract the Spirit so that you get born again. The Spirit comes with born again.
Right.
That powerful, mighty thing God does. The wind blows where He pleases. And suddenly you've got born again. And with that born again, you've got spiritual life. God Himself dwelling in you. And from that life, even sometimes I think calls God the tree of life in other places. I may be misapplied here. But fruit comes from trees, and God's compared to a tree, and the fruit comes from the tree here. And the fruit is the result of the Spirit who has chosen of His own will to come into you and born again. And so, the initiating factor, the first cause, is not faith. Faith is the result of the initiating factor. The first cause, God. You see, God comes and He causes you to have life, and then you can have from that life that He's given you, there's fruit that grows from the life, from the tree, from God comes faith. Faith doesn't get God. God comes and gives faith.
Right.
It says in Ephesians 2 and 8, same sort of thinking, that faith is a gift of God. It's not something we give God, so He'll come to us. It's something that God comes to us and gives to us, so that we'll come to Him. I like that. That's what should happen next. At that point, we're not a will not anymore. We're a whosoever will. And a whosoever will, I'll come. But it's because God came first. You see, no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him. John 6:44. That again gets things in the right order and reverses the wrong order that we're so ingrained in. You don't come to God, you can't come to God except God draws you to Him. That draw, liken it to water in a well. That's the word. Old timers, country folks, know what it is to draw water out of the well.
That's right.
You don't ask it to come. You don't holler at it and tell it to come. You don't convict it so it'll come. It's staying down there until somebody higher draws it out. That's the only way you can get higher, if it's drawn out.
Amen.
That's the only way you can get to God, if He draws you to Him. You can't come other times. You're as weak as the water that's in the well. No power to you. Impotent. We talked about that last night. No man can come, but God comes. If Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it is given unto you to believe. Well, again, that's saying the same thing. It's a gift of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus is the author of your faith.
Yep.
He's the one with the pen doing the writing. And He writes it in. And then you got it. You didn't present it to Him. He gave it to you. It's His gift to you. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's given unto you to believe. Jesus writes it on your heart. So, overestimate the role of faith. Faith is not what gets you to Him. Faith is His miracle that He gives you after He comes to you.
Right.
So let's don't underestimate the miracle of faith, nor overestimate the role of faith in salvation. Faith is not essential to getting to heaven. It's not in the loop. It's not in the chain. Now, everybody gets to heaven being given the gift of faith at some time, but that's not the factor or one of the factors that gets you there. Heaven's on this verse. Whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. So that, if that's all there is, and if I don't do faith too good, or if I have bad faith days, that's not in the heaven factor, you see. So I began to analyze my faith when I, back a few minutes ago when I was thinking that's what got me there. I might have been thinking about the times when Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." Or another time He said, "O ye of no faith." Or when He said something about faith of a grain of mustard seed, moving mountains. Or when He said to them about food and raiment, about your needs in this world, you're worrying about it. And at that point when He said, "You're worrying about all this stuff, oh, you have little faith." Well, that makes worrying on the opposite end of faith. And that means if I'm worrying, I'm not having much faith. And since I know I worry a lot in this world, that means I don't have much faith in this world. And now I get worried about where I'm going to heaven. That's something else to worry about if I think it's in the factor. So putting faith in the wrong box, declaring it to be the wrong thing, doesn't end up with relief. It ends up with more worry.
Right.
And it's not good news, it's kind of bad news. Then I find those verses, like it said, what if we believe not? That fits Romans 8 and 30. That's all of God. What if we believe not? Shall our unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What's the answer to that? God forbid. God forbid that you talk that way, but that's exactly the way we're talking now, primarily in Christianity. That if you don't believe, that makes everything God did without effect. It just wipes out the cross. It wipes out eternal salvation. It wipes out everything God's trying to do for you. If you don't believe, you just messed up the whole thing and you don't get to go. If we believe not, He cannot deny Himself. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. 2 Timothy 2 and 13.
Amen.
You can't unbelieve what Jesus has already done and make it where it didn't happen.
Right.
Your belief can't get so bad on your worst faith today, you can't make God say that Jesus didn't die on that cross. He will never deny that.
Amen.
And we talked about last night, everybody Jesus died for has to get to heaven, and that's fact. Eternal
Amen.
Fact.
Right.
That's Bible truth. That's God's thinking. That's the way it works, whether you believe it or not. Man, I'm glad.
Amen.
I'm like that, Daddy. I said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Please don't base my getting to heaven on my belief, because I got so much unbelief that suddenly my faith is so little and so weak, so frail and so trifling that, thank you, Lord, that if I don't believe, you're going to get me there anyway." Now, you need to believe. But that believing is not in the loop. It's not in the chain. It's not in the plan for eternal salvation.
Right.
But it is given to you. And it's a wonderful thing for you to have. And if you've got faith in the real plan, you can say, "Money, come quick.
Yeah.
I want to see Jesus." Let's go back to our text, Romans 1. Let's look at verse 17. Just that line out of there. "The just shall live by faith." Now, I can certainly understand how those very words right there could be taken to mean that by faith you get eternal life. I can't argue with the very words themselves. They couldn't mean that. They might mean that, if they mean that. Or they might not mean that if they don't mean that. Let's see what they mean. And in order to see what they really mean, let's put things in their context. Let's see what Paul's talking about here, what the Holy Spirit's giving Paul to talk about right here, and let's fit it, not yank it out and assume it means something, because we just think that's what it said, but let's leave it in and see if what we thought it might mean, if it can really mean that, or maybe it means something else. And when I think back on what I just said, I'm not sure if I knew what I meant by all that. Anyway, we come to chapter 1, Paul's letter to a church in Rome. And at the beginning of that letter, before we get to verse 17, where he says, the just shall live by faith, he's already called them the called of Christ, and that they've been called to be saints.
Yeah.
Right there, he's starting two things he's going to talk about in this letter. What God has done in calling them, remember the call? The media predestinate them, he also called. That's God's part. That gets you eternal life. And then call to be saints. That's your part to live after you get to life. That's living what you've been given. He's developing two things here throughout this book of Romans. God's call and the eternal factor of that, that you get heaven. He's calling you now to be a saint. To be holy in this world in which you live. To give him honor by doing that. So in those brief statements in verse 6 and 7, he stated what he's going to go for in this book, in this letter. But then between verse 7 and verse 17, where we find the statement, the just shall live by faith, he tells them two or three more things, this church. He said, man, y'all doing good over in Rome. This isn't exactly King James. But he says, they're talking about your faith all over the world. Whoa. That's a pretty good compliment for a group of folks in a church. That their faith in Christ goes beyond the walls of that church or the recesses of their soul. Their faith is shining so bright that others are seeing it and drawn to it. And that's what church ought to be all about. That's what Christianity ought to be all about. And Paul said, you're doing a great job. They're speaking of your faith all over the world. They already had faith, folks. It's being talked about everywhere. Paul said, I really want to come see you that we might build up each other in the faith. That we might encourage each other. That we might, through our mutual faith, come together and make our faith bigger and stronger and better. He's acknowledging in multiple places before he gets to this statement that they already have faith.
Amen.
And Paul's the same one that wrote that faith is the fruit of the Spirit. They already have life, and Paul knows it. And the Holy Spirit knows it. And they're the ones writing the letter. So they don't come down here to verse 17 and say, I know you've got the faith and I know you've got the life, but here's what you need to do. You need to do some faith so you can get the life. Huh? That's a head scratcher, isn't it? Paul, you're not staying straight here. Paul stays straight, the Holy Spirit stays straight.
Amen.
All the way through. It all ties together if we can tie it together. If we can rightly divide the Scriptures, they all fit each other. The Scriptures do. It's us that's gone astray when something seems to not fit, and we just need to put it in some context. The same context can be extended through the book of Romans. Paul didn't start out with one idea in 1 and 17 telling you how to get life, and then tell you in 3, like we've already talked about, it really doesn't matter whether you believe not, whether some believe not. Shall them believe stop all this? God forbid. And then come to verse 9 of chapter 5 and say, being justified, you shall be saved. Verse 10, you were reconciled, being reconciled, you shall be saved. He's been giving Jesus all the glory there and not for your faith. Faith independent on your eternal salvation. He comes to chapter 8, the verse we've quoted. He comes to chapter 8, predestinate, call, justify, glorify. In chapter 8, there's Paul's persuaded. There's nothing going to separate you from God.
Right, amen.
He's paid for you, he's going to have you. Isn't that awesome? Well, Paul didn't do all that positive thinking throughout the teachings of Romans and started off with some kind of negative thing you've got to do that would take your confidence away in God. God finishes what he starts. The book of Romans can be summed up with this statement. The purpose for the book Faith in grace demands works. Now that's not what we're going to talk about this morning, but that's what the book's all about. If you'll believe in this grace that I'm going to tell you about, then you're going to want to do some work for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what Paul's developing in this book.
Right.
But we're not going to try to develop that this morning. We're just going to kind of stay on this chapter 1, verse 17. The just shall live by faith. Well, you may be thinking by now, well, which one is it? You know, this preacher's saying some things that I've never thought about before like this. And my mind's kind of whirling, and I wonder really which one God meant. I've heard another preacher say it another way, and I've heard this preacher say it this way. Well, they're both men. What would God, how did God say it? Well, let's look at something here. Something I think is very important right here in this passage. Before Paul got to this part, the just shall live by faith, what do we find there? Written. We find written, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, the Holy Spirit making sure that we're going to understand what he's talking about here. He says, Paul, when you write that down, you write it, not just as your statement, you write as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that'll lead them to go back into the Old Testament and find where it was written. And if they'll go back in the Old Testament and find what is written, then they're going to find out what I'm talking about. That makes sense. That's a good way to study the New Testament. That's a good way to study the New Testament. Go back and find what was written. And then see how it applies to what's written here in the New Testament. So he says, you go back to the Old Testament, and you find that where it was in the Old Testament, where it said the just shall live by faith. And then in finding that, you're going to sort of understand what I'm talking about here in the New Testament, Romans 1:17. So we start thumbing back through. And I'm not going to try to find it because I'd embarrass myself in front of you all right now if I tried to find the book of Habakkuk. It's really in there. But it's a hard one to find. Because it's kind of hidden in all those little books there between Daniel and Matthew. Heard a bunch of little video books there. It's hard to find which one's where. And you can thumb through long enough. But if you're the preacher, you're supposed to know where it is. And I'd embarrass myself to come back and try to find it and show you I'm not exactly sure where it is. So I'm just going to try to tell you about it. We find that statement in the book of Habakkuk. I think it's in chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by his faith. Let's see what's going on in Habakkuk. Why God told him that. Chapter 1, book of Habakkuk. Goes like this. It starts out, Habakkuk is just torn all to pieces. He's praying to God because things have gone to the dogs. Kind of reminds me of America. Look around, it's just a bunch of mess. Nobody's following you and nobody's doing anything like they ought to be doing. And God, when are you going to do something about this? And God said, I've got it on my mind. It's starting right about now. Here's what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to send the Chaldeans. They're going to wipe you out. Ever wish you hadn't prayed a prayer? Ever get an answer you didn't want to have? That wasn't what he wanted to hear, was it? God, make us more righteous. Fix us as your people and draw us close to you. No, I'm through with you. I'm getting rid of you. You can go into captivity. The Chaldeans, they're a wicked nation. I'm sending them and they're going to destroy your cities. They're going to kill your babies. They're going to take you captive. You're going to stay there 70 years. Habakkuk says, God, you are of purer eyes.
Yep.
Don't do such thing as that.
Yep.
You're too good. You're too good to do that. You're too pure to take those wicked people and use them to punish us because we're not as bad as them. And it just isn't right, God, you do that to us. That's sort of what he says.
Yep.
And God tells him one or two more things, and then God says to him, Habakkuk, you just need to live by faith. You just need to live by faith. What's Habakkuk's problem? Is he asking God, how in the world am I supposed to get born again and get to be with you forever in heaven?
No.
That's not his question. That's not his problem. That's not what it's written about. Go back to where it's written and you'll find Habakkuk's problem was how to live life today. Faith's not forgetting life, it's for living life. Faith's not forgetting things. Faith is for facing things, folks.
Amen.
Yeah.
Facing a life of the Chaldeans coming after you. Or whoever it is in our culture. Or whoever it is in your day today. Whatever's haunting you. The directions to those who are haunted in the world how to live life today. Live it by faith. You don't get life by doing that. You live life by doing that. God gives you the life to live and then you live it with the faith that he's given you to live it with. Faith is for living what you've been given, whether it's a good day or a bad day. You've been given eternal life, you have a spiritual life in you, now face this natural life with the faith that's given in the spiritual life. That's what it's all about. He goes on in chapter 2 of Habakkuk and he explains to the fellow who's now looking at him by faith, trying to. It's not easy some days. Sometimes you can see what before your eyes, instead of using the faith to see the far. The faith's been given to see the things you're hoping for and the things you can't see, but sometimes the things you can see are so overbearing with your sight that the faith has trouble squeezing in. Just live by faith, Habakkuk. He tells Habakkuk in chapter 2 a couple of things in particular. He said, I'm still on my throne. That's a pretty good thought for faith to have, Paul, isn't it? God's still on his throne. I like that. I believe that. And when I believe in that, to the point I live in that, I've got a load off my shoulder, and I've all of a sudden mounted on wings as eagles. I'm running, I'm not weary, I'm walking above the troubles, I'm dancing on the waves looking at Jesus. He's still on his throne. He tells him one more thing. He said, when it's all said and done, everybody's going to bow to me. I like that kind of God. Large and in charge. Someday, he's going to have it his way, and his way to have you with him forever. Just wait. Just wait. All those that are after you, they're going to bow to it, and someday you're going to bow with it, and we all going to bow to God someday. Those are two good things to put your faith in, two good things to know. God's on his throne, and one day everybody's going to bow to him. And finally, after chapter 3, where God shows him a little bit of more personal appearance, where at some point in chapter 3 said Habakkuk's belly trembled. Now that's a scared man. I've been so scared my knees was knocking. I've been so scared my hands were shaking. But I don't reckon I've ever been scared. My belly was trembling. Now my belly trembles sometimes, and my grandkids say, bowl full of jelly, and I say, don't you talk to me that way. I become a big king with my big belly, but if I tremble, usually I'm not that scared to be shaking all over. When your belly trembling, you shake it all over. God showed Habakkuk God, and Habakkuk was shaking all over. Isn't that pretty awesome? God's not really scary, but I'll tell you what, when you get a sight of all his glory, it's enough to make you shake all over. Was for Habakkuk anyway. When the story sums up, the just shall live by his faith. You go show him in the Old Testament what that's all about. When the story summed up, Habakkuk's story in that Old Testament, he said, really doesn't matter. If the cows all die, if the sheep are gone, if the crops don't grow, and the garden's barren, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation.
Right. Amen.
That's what faith will do for you.
Right.
When your garden doesn't grow and your cows have all died, you can still rejoice in the God of your salvation.
Amen.
When you realize your salvation is taking you all the way to glory, and your faith doesn't have anything to do with you getting there, but it has a lot to do with you knowing you're getting there. There's a whole lot of peace in that. There's a whole lot of hope in that. There's a whole lot of freedom in that. The truth will make you free.
Amen.
I want to guide your feet to the way of peace. I want to tell you about a God that when you put your faith in this God, that faith that he's given you, when you use that faith and live by faith, you've got a mighty powerful tool in this world to help you live through this world, to help you get through your days, to help you as you struggle on in life. The purpose of preaching. Now, remember, this is my last chance. He's coming Monday. Maybe. That's our premise anyway. I'm telling you what you need to know if he's coming Monday. I'm telling you, take the faith he's given you and let it wipe out all fears about him coming. Believe in him so strong that you know it's all by grace and he's coming to get you in spite of what you've done and in spite of your unbelief. I'm trying to tell you, don't be afraid of Monday. Live by that faith he's given and look forward to Monday. Faith will let you do that. You can look forward to seeing Jesus when you know he's done it all and you didn't have anything to do with getting to heaven. As long as you think it was your faith that got you there, then you're still thinking you're getting life by faith and not living the life by faith. when you turn loose a you in the eternal life equation, now God turned loose a you a long time ago. Now when you turn loose a you, you can have peace of mind like God's got peace of mind back. God looked at the suffering of Jesus, so God got satisfied. When you're satisfied with it, that's not what gets you to heaven, that gets you peace about going to heaven. That makes your hope so real, so certain, so absolute, that you can say, come Lord Jesus, without a disclaimer. That's a pretty awesome thing to tell somebody on Saturday when he's coming on Monday. Enjoy these next 2 days. Don't live them in fear. Get excited. He's coming back. Now, I don't think I'm going to do him justice if I don't go on just a little bit further here. Most everything we've talked about faith so far has been about you. And about me. And what's in it for me. And what's in it for you. And all that's good stuff. Great stuff. Wonderful stuff. I want to know what's in it for me. I want you to know what's in it for you. I want you to know that this faith that's God has given you, that's His gift, that He wrote it upon your heart, the fruit of that Spirit is indwelled within you, it's going to get you through. You can live your days with that and rejoice in the God of your salvation. No matter what's happening, faith does that for you. And that's some mighty good stuff. But I don't think that's the main reason for faith. I really don't. I think the ultimate, real, main reason that God gave you faith, that God gives me faith, goes beyond just us being able to know we're going to heaven and being able to face life with that faith no matter what life throws at us. Not get life, but faith life. Face life with it. Beyond any of those things that are benefits to us in this world. Faith in Christ. Total faith in Christ. Faith in Christ without adding anything to Christ gives glory to Christ.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. That's what eternity is going to be all about, giving glory to Christ.
Right.
And God's given you the gift of faith before you get to eternity while you're still stuck in this world so you can get a head start. So you can start glorifying Him now. When you really see Jesus high and lifted up, like Saul of Tarsus saw Jesus high and lifted up, you know what you do at that point? You really believe in Him then. It's all it is. And he fell on his face and he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's called turning your life over to Jesus. And you say, but I've just got 2 days left. Well, he's coming back. Okay. And you don't have to do it very long. Sure, you can do anything for 2 days. But you know, Danny could have been wrong about him coming back Monday. What if that 2 days turns into 2 more?
Yeah.
Well, then you got good practice on these 2 days. When you thought he's coming, you can say, well, those two preachers, Danny and Jeff, they're a couple of fools. He didn't come back today, but then don't change on Tuesday.
Right.
Get up Tuesday thinking he could come back today. You see, it's a mindset.
Right.
But he can come back any time. He may not wait a month. He could come tomorrow. But that gives you just 1 day. You can almost hold your breath for 1 day. But this isn't like holding your breath that makes you miserable. This is like worshiping God that makes you happy.
Right.
It's a way to live life that makes life worth living.
Right.
It's living what you've been given, and that's the best way to live life. To fall on your face before Jesus and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know what? Knowing about this Jesus ought to purge our conscience from dead works and get us where we're committed to serving the living God.
Amen.
That's what it says in Hebrews. Right. This love of Christ constraineth us. I was talking about you being free, and the truth will make you free, but the truth will also put you in handcuffs. It'll put you in shackles. You're free of all those fears, and you got that liberty in your conscience about going to heaven and all that stuff, but that ties you to Christ so closely it constrains you. You're chained to live in a life of loving Jesus Christ. We're looking. Looking. Faith is for living and looking. We're looking for the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Coming Monday, somebody said. We're looking for the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. And purified unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Well, that's those of us who know about Him, learned about Him, have faith in Him. And all of a sudden we have a zeal in our hearts that comes from our knowledge, from the Spirit working on our insides. And we're zealous of good works. We say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And it constraineth us. And it purgeth us from dead works to serve the living God. And we begin to look for works we can do for His honor, for His glory. That we be a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. You know, he that hath that hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. These are Bible verses that give glory to God when you start using your faith. Not just what's in it for me, what's in it for you, Lord? I want to purify myself and be holy to your honor, to your glory, to your praise. While the devils believe and tremble, and faith without works is dead. But we're purged from dead works to serve the living God. The love of Christ constraineth us. Faith in love, faith that loves, goes to work.
Amen. Amen.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That you be holy, that you be a living sacrifice, that you be unblameable, unreprovable, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that faith would lead us, faith in Christ would lead us to live by faith. That's how you face a day. And that's what will let you know that it's okay when you face Christ. When he comes back, come Monday. God bless you.
Now, the scriptures also say that if any man says he knows when Christ is coming back, well,
I want to get that straight.